Now, the scripture reading today continues in 1 Corinthians, and it's Paul continuing his teaching of that church. That church evidently needed a lot of training, a lot of help, and so he's continuing his teaching. First, he was teaching, you remember, about spiritual gifts and all the ways that their spiritual gifts could be used and how each one was just as important as the other. Now he's teaching the new church community in Corinth about how to show God's love to one another and to help them bond together in unity. Now, this passage was not, intended or written for a wedding ceremony, but even though this way of loving is also very helpful, of course, in marriages, but he wrote this for people to use with one another to learn how to truly and deeply love one another and how to bond together, which helps the church community then be able to do the work of God even better. So listen now to the word of God. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. So what is love? Isn't that the ancient question that's been asked since the beginning of time? There are so many songs and movies and poems and books and blogs and seminars written about love. It is what makes the world go round. And last night at the Sacred Space Service, we ended the evening with the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. Do, 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 do. It was really fun. And last night, Chris Rhodes actually shared a reflection on love that we appreciated. And we discussed this same scripture that we have read today. But we especially talked about the four kinds of love. There's the eros, the philia, the storge, and agape. Now, C.S. Lewis wrote a book on the four loves, and we watched a video made from a radio broadcast of C.S. Lewis himself teaching about love. He said the most spiritual kind of love was philia, which is friendship love. And that was kind of a surprise to us. You always think, well, agape, unconditional love must be the most spiritual. But his take on it is that it's a choice to have friends, that we are instinctively driven to procreate and have eros love, the erotic love, and storge is that instinct too of the parent-child love. And he said, and agape is the unconditional love from God, from Jesus. But he felt that when you have a choice to go through life seeking out friendships and establishing friendships, that's a spiritual thing to do that isn't absolutely necessary for your survival, but enhances it and spiritually helps you through life. And so Margot Starbuck also wrote a book on love that expanded on C.S. Lewis's perspective on philia love. And she titled it Small Things with Great Love, Adventures in Loving Your Neighbors. And Starbuck starts out the book confessing that she always thought of Mother Teresa as a superhero like Jesus. And so she didn't push herself to serve others and love her neighbors in need because she knew she couldn't measure up to the superheroes that devote their lives to helping others. But then she discovered Mother Teresa's quote that said, "You don't have to do great things. It's more than enough to do small things with great love." So now Starbuck realized she could no longer ignore Jesus' invitation to engage a world in need. So she took on the challenge to think of small things that she could do daily, and she did find much power in them. She started by learning the first name of her daughter's school bus driver, and she made a point to thank her by name daily. And she said it made a difference in their relationship. They started to become friends. Then she met a man named Hugh, who shared his life with the homeless in Raleigh, North Carolina. And Hugh was invited to speak at Margot's church. And during his speech, he challenged them to consider purposely investing in relationships that cross boundaries of race, religion, and income. So that's a challenge to think about. Like, how many friends do you have that are of a different ethnicity than you have? How many do you have that are of a different socioeconomic status than you? How many friends do you have that are of a different religion than you have? It's a good self-analysis to take. And so he was challenging them to increase the number of friends that they had that were different ethnicity and religion and income. But one guy in the church named Chuck, he decided he wanted to take Hugh up on his challenge to show love to those who live on the margins of society, but he said he just couldn't do it. Chuck explained to Hugh that his life was very busy. He had a family, and he said, "So the one day of the week that I have at home with my family, I don't want to go to the park and meet homeless people." So Hugh replied to him with a question. "Do you have an office?" Chuck said, "Yes, I do." And Hugh asked if there was an office cleaner. And he said, "Yes, there was a woman who cleaned his office 3 times a week. So Hugh asked Chuck, "What is her name?" Chuck didn't know, even though she'd been cleaning his office for 8 years, the same lady. A few weeks later, Chuck called Hugh up and told him her name was Maria, and that he learned that she worked 2 jobs to feed her 3 kids, and that it really bothered Chuck when he found that out. He had never met someone personally who worked 2 jobs and had latchkey kids at home. It made him feel very uncomfortable about having lived such an insulated life. And so he found a tutor for Maria who would help her with English. Over time, an office assistant job came open in his company, and it paid enough so that Maria could work during the day and be with her kids at night. This book on small things with great love also describes how Jesus loved everybody he met, but he was especially focused on helping people that we often feel uncomfortable around. The tax collector, the leper, the person with epilepsy, the mentally ill, and all those who are shunned by society. It is scary to reach out to a stranger, isn't it? Margot Starbuck says, "You might think that to live fearlessly, meeting the needs of the poor and homeless, takes a lot of courage." But she said it doesn't take courage at all. What it takes is to be moved by God's love. To be moved by God's love. And God's unshakable love is a love that is everlasting and contagious. Margot thinks the small acts of love are powerful enough to bring God's kingdom to earth. And in her book, she wrote, "As we extend small acts of self-giving love over the course of a normal day, God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven." And then she goes deeper and talks about the way Jesus role modeled self-giving love for others. And she mentions as an example Henry Nouwen, who took Christ's teachings on self-giving very seriously. He felt that he heard Jesus speaking to him as he read the passage about the rich man asking Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said to him that he needed to sell everything and follow him. Now, Nouwen took this to mean for him personally, get rid of what makes you feel secure and comfortable. And so in his book, The Road to Daybreak, Henry Nouwen says, "When I looked critically at my life, I gave some money, some of my time, some of my energy, but I always worked towards maintaining my own security. Thus, I never really gave God a chance to show me his boundless love for me." So Nouwen changed his life, and he moved into a community of people who had developmental disabilities. And this story reminded me how we have a chance now to come close to people with developmental disabilities when they're here from the Sonoma Developmental Center having worship and trying their best to have some sort of worship that they're comfortable with in our Rose Room, which starts already next week. So if you get a chance to greet these folks when they come and just show them your love, I know they'll appreciate it so much. So Nouwen also shared his personal struggle with depression in his book titled The Inner Voice of Love. And it contains writings from his diary that he kept from December 1987 to June 1988. And this was written during one of his most serious bouts with clinical depression. In Henry Nouwen's books, he likes to explore the many aspects of how God's love and forgiveness is unconditional. And he invites the reader to imitate him in his personal return to what he called the spiritual fountain of prayer that helped him heal, he believes, from his depression. He said, "To pray is to listen to the voice of the one who calls us the beloved." And Nouwen believes God's love saved him from depression, inspired him to get the medical help he needed, and change his life. God's love can change yours too. If you tap into God's energy that is around all of us, God's loving energy is here and within and around and in each other. Lauren Daigle is a young example and a contemporary example of how trust in God's love can pull one through the hardships that we go through. Lauren won the Dove Award for New Artist in 2015, and she's up for 2 Grammys this year, which will be awarded next week. And one of her newest songs was performed on the finals on last season's America's Got Talent, if you watch it. And then the next morning, she was asked to perform it herself on Good Morning America. The song is called You Say, and she wrote it when she was feeling overwhelmed and not sure of herself. At age 15, Lauren went through a terrible bout of chronic fatigue as a result of contracting a cytomegalovirus that attacked her immune system, resulting in a lupus-like disease. And while her immune system was compromised, she also contracted Lyme disease on top of it. But during the years when she was forced to be homebound trying to heal from these illnesses, she began songwriting. And now Lauren is 27 years old, and she won 7 GMA Dove Awards, 2 Billboard Music Awards, 2 American Music Awards, and has a total of 4 nominations at the Grammy Awards. And the best part is she's feeling totally healed and disease-free. In her free time, she goes on mission trips now and supports the organization called Restore Her that takes in girls who have been sex trafficked and gives them a home and a family along with long-term therapy. I mention all this because her trust in God's love is what she credits with pulling her through all her sufferings and self-doubt. And here is one of her songs that's nominated for a Grammy next week. Let's turn the lights down.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure love. You have every failure, God. You have every victory.